What's up, everybody? Chris here. I'm an owner and operator, along with my wife, LA, of the LA Edge Web Radio Network. LA can't be here right now for this, but sends her sincerest apologies and wishes you nothing but the best in 2017. I would like to welcome you to this listening experience if you are a new LA Edge Web Radio listener. And if you're a returning listener, I want to give you a very, very special thank you. You guys are the backbone to LA Edge Web Radio. You're the fuel that runs the fire. So we have been working really, really hard behind the scenes trying to make this the best experience possible. Because in time and with your support, what we are hoping is to make LA Edge Web Radio the go-to place for your best podcasting experience. It's a new year, so why not give you the latest lineup of our weekly programming? On Mondays, tune in at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, of course, for the debut of a new paranormal experience. Join host Kevin Malone as he explores and uncovers the realm of the paranormal on his podcast, Transcending the Unknown. This guy knows his stuff, folks, so be sure to tune into this one. Now, on Tuesdays, it's going to get a bit interesting because I'm going to try to silence the critics, or at least wake them up, as I debut my solo open topic podcast, That Podcast with That Guy. So I need your help. I need topics. I need you guys to email me at laedgewebradio@gmail.com and give me any questions, concerns, bitches, complaints, whatever. I am going to take your topics and make that into the theme of the podcast. So your topic will be the theme of a podcast. It's almost like it's your own little podcast with me answering your questions or concerns or whatever. So email me at laedgewebradio@gmail.com and help me get this thing rolling. Wednesdays host the return of our trial-run political show, The Chalk Line of a Nation, but we've changed it up a bit. Mike and Kevin and myself all talked, and we said, you know what? Let's not make this the same old cookie-cutter political talk podcast. We know how those things are, right? So we've decided we're going to mix it up a bit. And we're going to add a bit of a more of a humorous twist. We're going to make it fun. We're going to make you laugh instead of being mad or disgruntled or negative. We're going to try to make you laugh about the political scene in the United States. Because, after all, it's ridiculous. Thursdays are for our fellow gamers. Tune into the New Generations of Gaming podcast every Thursday afternoon as my son and myself discuss the topics of video gaming. We will share new beta experiences, rate the games, and share all the latest news. So join Brady and I for this fun and informational podcast. Monday through Thursdays, we have every show going on. Also, keep in mind that our flagship show that started it all for us, She Said, He Said, and our very popular show, Sounds of the Streets, they're still both very, very active in our library of programming, but we're just awaiting their returns. But they will be back, so don't worry. Again, thank you for supporting us by tuning into our network. We really, really do appreciate you guys. This is why we do this. We just want to entertain and give you guys something positive instead of the same old negativity and drama that fills our days. We want to be happy, folks. We need to be happy. So why not tune into a podcast that's going to make you laugh a little bit? It's healthy. Don't forget to keep up with the latest info by visiting our social media outlets on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also download the free Stitcher app and take us with you on your travels. And don't forget, you can catch up on all the archived episodes by visiting our website at laedgewebradio.com. LA Edge Web Radio, it's where it's at. The following program may not be suitable for some listeners. Parental discretion is advised.
Welcome to Transcending the Unknown with your host, Kevin Malone.
Boy, that was scary. I don't know if I can continue with the show now. I'm kind of just freaked myself out. Hey, anyways, welcome to Transcending the Unknown. I am your host, Kevin Malone, and this is the first episode of this adventure in the paranormal that I've been on for so many years. Got a great show tonight. I have, I think, as far as I'm concerned, the perfect first guest for a first show. I have tonight for my guest, Eric Van Leer, the great paranormal investigator. Happy and proud to call him my friend. Eric, are you there?
I am here. Thank you so much. I am honored to be the first guest tonight for the show that I think is going to do great.
I think so, too, because, yeah, I tried to get Zach, but, he's a busy guy, and what are you going to do, before we get into stuff, I think it was Friday night, I was watching one of the newest paranormal shows on TV. I believe it was on the Wii channel. I'm not sure what Wii stands for. Maybe it's us. I don't know, but it was called Ghosts in the Hood. And Ghosts in the Hood. It's very similar to the one that came out on Destination America last year called Ghost Brothers. And when I saw that, I thought at first, I thought, hey, great, because I don't see many black people in the paranormal. I'm not sure why that is. You just don't, So I thought, hey, cool, But it was just so cliched and that. But Ghosts in the Hood is really horrible. It's like, it's like a hood version of Scooby-Doo, They've got the psychic chick, the medium. She wears Daisy Dukes and hot pants, which that might draw spirits out. It's possible, it's one of the things I do. I watch every paranormal show that comes on. I watch them all, and people, ask me, why do you torture yourself? Well, I do that so my listeners don't have to, I suffer and I report it to the listeners. But anyway, let's get into this. You and I believe we've been talking in social media probably since, I think, around 2010, 2011.
Wow, a long time.
Yeah, it's been a while, man. And I've been following you, and you over the years you've sent me some pictures you've gotten and things like that. And so I've always been very intrigued with what you do, and I'm impressed with the way you conduct yourself. I have a problem with these ghost adventures wannabes, that try to make everything look like a TV show, and more power to them. That's what you want to do, but you started? Go ahead.
I mean, I try to do everything differently. What got me started was being involved in a little bit of dark stuff. I used to go to, I lived in the Valley, San Fernando Valley, and there's a lot of urban legend places tied in with the Manson family.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we've got the Gravity Hill, like they have in every major city over on Lopez Canyon and Fillmore. So we would go to the urban legend locations, myself and my friends. We didn't, really know what to expect. Actually, at Gravity Hill, it wasn't until years later that we actually, with a different group of friends, we got out of the car and actually investigated the cemetery at night. But we were once there, and I guess it's the mausoleum. It's the big building on the main road on the top of the hill. And
yeah,
I don't remember who was driving, but we stopped the car and we looked, we just stared at the building. And up in the third floor in the center window, there appeared a guy that looked like Angus Grimm from Phantasm, rocking back and forth in a chair. And, we weren't there to capture any evidence. We didn't know about EVPs and all that other stuff. We just went there more just for a thrill. But I called the next day and asked them, I didn't tell them right away what I experienced, but I said, what's up in that third window? I was just wondering. I might have seen something a little bit interesting. And they told me that all that was there was storage. They used that area for storage. So that was one of the first poignant quote-unquote experiences I had. The other one, everybody knows about it, so I'll just say it real quickly, was when I was up in an area near the Santa Monica Mountains. I had been dressed in a black robe, reading out of the Satanic Bible, and we heard a woman scream coming from the bottom of a canyon. I go to get back into my car. The car won't start. I look under the hood, and the radiator hose is shredded in half, not like wear and tear, but like something actually had ripped it. So wow. I had those two first experiences. Yeah, pretty crazy stuff. So I had those two first experiences, and then I joined some meetup groups, and things, you know, rolled from there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It started from, I had my first experience at age 6.
Oh, wow.
At the Winchester house.
Right.
And I didn't know I'd seen a ghost until like an hour after the tour was over. You know, but I mean, I'm 6 years old, and I didn't know anything about Sarah Winchester or the house or anything. My parents just took me and my brother there one day. And it was Sarah that I saw. It wasn't until I saw a photograph of her in this gift shop or museum, whatever it was they had, after the tour, I realized, well, that's who I saw, you know. And that's what got started for me. I mean, I immediately started reading every book on ghosts I could get my hands on. You know, and this is like the mid-1960s. You know, mm-hmm. so aside from Hans Holzer, there wasn't a lot to read,
right.
You know, and I never liked Hans Holzer's books, but I think I've read damn near every one of them, you know. So,
yeah, I mean,
I'm a
few years younger than you.
Yeah, I'm 56,
I
man.
I remember back in my day, yeah, Hans Holzer was pretty much the only thing to read, and it was a technical read compared to a lot of the books that are out now.
Oh, no, not even.
Yeah, but I, you know, being someone that's into occult philosophy, which is very technical and esoteric, you know, looking back in hindsight, I mean, he was definitely a pioneer. And, I mean, that big book that he wrote, I don't remember what it was called, but it was basically the Bible of the Paranormal. I mean, that's basically what started it all for me, you know, even though back then I didn't understand half the stuff I was reading.
I think the first book I read that I remember reading was on the Borley Rectory, and I think it was written by the guy that did the famous study on it before it burned down, which I think it burned down like 1940s or something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, so I got into some of the early stuff. And, I mean, you know, now, I mean, you look at the paranormal, and I think that's part of the problem with the paranormal is just there's so much stuff out there. There's so many different theories and ideas and, you know, between the crackpot and hoaxy stuff and then some of the junk science that's running around, you know, it's almost maddening. You know, if you were just somebody now starting to get into the paranormal, maybe you saw an episode of Ghost Hunters, you know, and you're getting into it, it's like, you know, where do you start? Who do you listen to? What do you do? You know, because there's really so much crap out there. And even if you're already in the field like you and I, and, you know, you're out there talking to people and you belong to groups and stuff, I mean, all you have to do is just make like one comment. I've been in groups where somebody says, you know, I took this to the cemetery last night. What is it? And I put down lens flare, you know. You know, I mean, because that's what it is. Or, you know, I had a woman one time threatened death on me and my children. She'd posted a picture on this one site and said, look at this fairy that I caught on film, you know. Mm-hmm. And I look at the picture, and it's a grasshopper. I mean, it's so blatantly, obviously a grasshopper, it's not even funny. So I even went as far as to find another picture of a grasshopper in flight and said, look, what's this? Oh, you got to know, it's a grasshopper, you know.
So, yeah, I mean.
And I mean, I'm being nice, you know. But next thing you know, I'm a hater and, you know, death to you and your children, you know.
Oh, I know. I mean, people are so quick to criticize, but once they post something or, you know, they publicize something, if you make a comment, those same people, all hell rains loose.
Yeah. I mean, but that's the whole thing. I mean, you know, I have a thing of orbs are one of my pet peeves. You know, I'm really down on the whole orb thing. You know, but I mean, hey, I can't no more prove to people that orbs are not paranormal any more than they can prove they are. You know, the fact of the matter, no matter what photographs or film we get or EVP, whatever it may be, it's not, when you come right down to it, it's truly not absolute proof.
Right.
You know, maybe I guess not in the terms of the way science would look at absolute proof. I knew well, I know a paranormal investigator who one time said that you know, until you can catch a ghost and like put it in a mayonnaise jar and go here it is, you know, everything else is subjective.
Right. I think there was a show that was trying to do something like that. They were trying to capture the ghost or something.
Oh, one of the TV shows?
Yeah, I can't remember the name, but they were trying to, every episode they would build like
Ghost Asylum.
Perhaps, yeah, it might have been that. They were actually trying to capture these entities in these contraptions.
They were hilarious, too. The first one they did, the guy built a box that had all these mirrors in it.
Right.
And supposedly the spirit would come into the box, and then, of course, it would be trapped by the mirrors. And as far as I know, it's the only episode I saw where they actually claimed they caught the ghost.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the one Bubba that built the box, he's like, I'll tell you, it's in there. And we caught her. So what do you do with the bad ghost? How do you dispose of this bad ghost? Well, they took it out in the woods and blew it up with a stick of dynamite. Because I guess, you know, explosives are the bane of the paranormal. You know?
Wow.
Yeah,
that's pretty funny.
I miss that show. Oh, and
I mean, I'll be
Deep
honest
South
with you.
Paranormal.
I mean, we talked about this last week. I mean, I don't really watch, you know, many of the paranormal shows. I think I told you I haven't seen an episode in probably in the past year.
Well, you lucky man, you.
I mean, I do post stuff once in a while, you know, for my website related to the paranormal, but then I never watch the episode that I post about.
Well, you know, it's like, well, I remember seeing you on My Ghost Story.
Mm-hmm.
I was telling my fiance about it, so I went back to YouTube where you used to be able to get all the first three or four seasons of My Ghost Story. You could watch any of it. Now you can't.
Mm-hmm. Right,
you know,
I couldn't find it. Yeah, I was looking for
it
because I wanted to make, you know, under the Fair Use Act, I wanted to make a compilation video with some of the different media appearances I've done. And that was one of the episodes I was looking for, and I wasn't able to find it.
Yeah, I even thought I thought I'd go to the Biography Channel page. But I guess Biography has been taken over by some other channel.
Discovery,
and they
I
had
think
this,
it might be.
Yeah, and they had a site you could go to where it says you could watch all the episodes of My Ghost Story. Well, no, it's only the more recent seasons. The original stuff's all gone, you know. And that first three seasons was really about the best that show ever was.
Yeah.
You know, because they had you on it. You had more stuff where, I mean, I saw stuff on there. I mean, I can't say it was all guaranteed real, but I saw some stuff that absolutely blew my mind.
Right, that's where that's where the famous skeleton arm came from. I got so much hell from that audio of me screaming. But the funny thing is, last year, I believe it was for our Halloween party, we were at another restaurant where the cellar is located, and the waiter came up to me unsolicited and told me that a couple weeks before, we had the Halloween dinner, someone else had actually experienced the same thing. So years later, I got validation for the experience that so many people had given me hell about.
Well, it's ridiculous, man. I mean, was that the first time that had ever happened to you?
Oh, yeah, that was one of our first public investigations. I mean, we were there with some known investigators. I believe there were a couple people from Planet Paranormal and some other well-known groups. But I was on one side of the restaurant, and they were on the other. It's kind of shaped like an L.
Mm-hmm.
And I was with our former psychic, and I thought she was playing games. I don't know what she was doing. And that was, you could hear me on the audio saying that, you know, I said, that was you. I didn't know what she was doing. There was like a bright light and all this stuff happened. And then the arm came out of the wall. I mean, it was literally a skeletal arm. And I've told, you know, I've been on other shows discussing it, and I'll go to my grave saying that, yes, I was attacked by a skeleton arm if you listen to the audio, you will hear what sounds like a taser, and that is a sound. You know, people give me stupid comments. That is the sound of what I think it would sound like if bones were clicking together.
Well, I mean, you know, something like that happens to you. I mean, you know, you're not going to go, oh, gee, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't screaming because the food was bad. I mean, the food there is great.
Yeah.
You know? 5-star French restaurant, for God's sake.
No, I know. I love the way people react. Well, I wouldn't have done that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I say that with all the friends I used to try to get to go into cemeteries and allegedly haunted homes with me when I was growing up. Could never get none of them. But, you know, their excuse was, oh, dude, I'm not wasting my time. That's just stupid. You know, ain't no such thing. You know, well, then come on. You know?
get attacked by something that's not supposed to exist. Have a skeleton arm and hand grab your neck and then grab the equipment out of your hand and tell me you're not going to scream.
Yeah. I would probably scream and have to change my pants, you know?
Yeah, that's something straight out of a horror movie. But it was real life.
Yeah, see, these are the same people that tell you that, you know, they wouldn't have reacted that way, but they'll go to one of those god-awful paranormal activity movies. What are they up to, number 20 now, I think? And, you know, and they're the people in the theater going, ah! You know?
I still haven't seen The Ring sequel, by the way.
Which
one? I still haven't seen The Ring sequel that just came out Friday.
I won't because number one, I think the American version of The Ring sucked, you know, just like the American version of The Grudge sucked. You know, you want to see the real deal. But the Asians are making some of the best horror in the business right now. You know, America's stuck on Oculus 5 and, you know.
Yeah, there was, there was a great subtitled movie. It was, I don't know if they have this theater chain where you're at in Missouri, but out here they have a chain of movie theaters called the Lemley. I'm sure it's you know, named after Carl Lemley, where they do these independent movie showings. And there was a movie, I believe it was from the Philippines. I believe it was from the Philippines or Indonesia. I want to say Philippines. Subtitled called The Road, a paranormal movie that was absolutely amazing.
Yeah, Netflix used to have a ton of obscure, cool stuff. You know, now they got Doodly Squat, you know.
Right.
IFC, which shows marathons of that 70s show now. What that has to do with independent film, I don't know, but that's another show. But they used to have an Asian theater thing they would do, like, on the weekends. That's where I first saw, like, Ichi the Killer, you know, and Brother, and some of the other really good Japanese Yakuza films, you know. Because America's just, you know, when I think of classic American horror, I go back to the 70s, like Legend of Hell House and stuff, you know what I mean?
Oh, it's funny you say that. That was one of the first horror films I saw. I remember that.
Cool.
I can't think of Roddy McDowell, I think, was in that.
Yeah, Roddy McDowell, yeah.
I remember watching that with at my dad's, who is a totally different story. I don't know if the jerk is alive or dead. But I remember seeing it when I was at his house because he would let me watch, you know, all those movies. And that movie scared the hell out of me.
It's a great film. I mean, and what's cool, and it's still a cool film to watch today. So all you listeners out there, go get you a copy of The Legend of Hell House. You'll love it. But, I mean, you never see anything. You never see a ghost. You don't see monsters, no demons, nothing. You know?
Right.
But, yeah, it's an unnerving, creepy film, you know?
Well, I went to a friend's birthday party on Saturday, and we were talking about creepy movies. Creepy paranormal films, and one of the ones that both he and I agreed upon that was actually a children's movie that just totally creeps the heck out of both of us was the lady in white.
Oh, I remember that. That was good.
Yeah, that was one of, to this day, that's one of the creepiest movies.
Yeah, it really had an atmosphere to it. You know, and that's what's cool. You know, I don't, my biggest problem with Hollywood today and in film in general is I'm not a fan of all this computer generated green screen crap. You know, I mean, I like the Lord of the Rings trilogy. That was great. You know, but I'm a mm-hmm. Peter Jackson fanatic. So, but
right.
Most of that stuff, I don't care for it. I like the look of film, you know,
right.
And, you know, I'm a big fan of guys like Dario Argento, Lucio Fulci, all the great Italian directors. I mean, you can't, you know, give me Cannibal Holocaust over, you know, Texas Chainsaw 15 any day, you know,
exactly.
Three on a meat hook, you know, the good days. And
yeah, the Great Paranormal film is The Beyond by Fulci.
Oh, yeah.
Also City of the Dead.
Yeah, City of the Dead is a really good one. There's a few I saw, and I can't remember the name of now. They've all come out within the last 8 or 9 years. There was a really good one. It was about a young man who's taking care of his younger brother. His parents got killed in a car wreck, and he was trying to build this machine that took power out of the grid and then did something to it and pumped it back in. I guess it was supposed to, like, raise up the EMF to these insane levels, and he was trying to bring his parents back. But it didn't work on him. It brought dead people around the neighborhood back. You know, it was like called Ghosts in the Machine or something about Ghosts and Machines.
Right.
And I saw another one called All My Friends Are Funeral Singers. About a woman who was a psychic, did psychic readings out of her house, and her house was full of ghosts that she was keeping there. And they would give
right.
her information to tell her clients. It was just a really... Like, in one bedroom was this group of ghosts that played nothing but this freaky kind of, I've been eating mushrooms all day, psychedelic music, you know?
Yeah.
But, I mean, it was a trippy film, but, I mean, it was really well made. The acting was good, and, you know, it wasn't your standard thing. Okay, the kids got out the Ouija board, now they're all going to die one by one, or Charlie's coming.
What do you think of Charlie?
Oh, dude, when that first hit the internet, I'm seeing all these people. Now, I know a few people who are said to be professionals that actually put videos on YouTube of them doing Charlie, and oh my God, it really works, you know. And I'm calling BS on this thing from day one. And so when it came out that it was actually a promo crappy thing for this cheesy movie, oh, I had such a field day rubbing that in people's faces.
Right.
I was the troll from hell for about a week.
But do you think these things that people create either for entertainment or promotional reasons can become a TOPA? I don't know if you saw the picture I had posted, but we had captured a picture that actually had Slender Man in it.
No, I didn't see that.
Oh, yeah.
It's certainly possible.
Right.
You know, I mean, well, you know, dude, it's like looking at the Ouija board itself. You know, in and of itself, mm-hmm. it's just a piece of wood or particle board, whatever it is. So it's not so much that the board itself is evil or, you know, or whatever, you know, but it seems to, when certain people use it, it seems to be able to open up doors to things you don't want to have come through.
Well,
maybe
it's
just the energy you're putting out at the time.
Exactly. I mean, it goes back to Jung, and probably even before that, the collective unconscious. As far as a TOPA in our situation, I mean, the Slender Man was created, I believe, as a creepypasta or 4chan or one of those things. But we did an investigation in Palmville, which is north of Los Angeles in the desert, where a lot of crazy things happened, and one of the pictures that we got shows King Anu, who is the king of the Anunnaki or ancient aliens, and in the same picture, standing next to him with his arm raised, is Slender Man. It's a tall, tall, skinny, black figure that looks like the typical Slender Man. Now, this was, I mean, you know, people have asked me, do you do this, do you do that? I don't know how to edit. You know, I can a little bit, but I don't know how to make all these special effects. I wish I knew Photoshop. None of my stuff is edited. This was a raw picture.
Well, you know, I don't know. I'm just reaching for something. I mean, could it be? I mean, I've done paranormal shows in the past over the years, and I've been lucky enough to have Dr. Barry Taff on a few times, one
right.
of my paranormal idols.
Right.
And I'd asked him about EVP one time, what he thought of it. And he said, well, you know, he's heard some stuff that's very, very interesting. You know,
mm-hmm.
is he willing to say it's the voices of the dead? No, he's not, although it could be. He said, but, you know, again, we have to consider the possibility maybe we're projecting this ourselves. So in that sense, maybe, well, kind of like, you know, when you hear people get EVPs or something of a child,
mm-hmm.
and there's some people that think that if you get a child, it's not really a child, it's something bad, pretending to be a child to draw you in. So
exactly.
If they're able to do that, then it would stand to make sense that they can pull things out of our subconscious, you know, and that's
right.
where you get the Slender Man. You know,
right.
Kelly with Black Eyed Kids, same thing, you know.
Yeah, that's a very interesting theory, one that I'm definitely open to believing in.
Well, I mean, you know, I think all of us that get into this field, you know, I mean, we all want to believe that ghosts are the spirits of dead people because that's the absolute proof, you know, that this life isn't the only one, that there's something that comes afterwards. You know, because death's always the big boogerboo in the room.
Right.
That's why I guess science has always latched on to, well, you know, people make up ghosts because they're afraid of dying. Well, yeah. You know, a lot of us are. You know, I'm not because I've already been dead. You know, but, I think, you know, and I'm sure in the cases of some hauntings or some activity, you know, I think some poltergeist activity definitely will center around a teenager, and it's their own inner turmoil that's generating it. But then there seems to be other types of poltergeist activity that's leaning more towards the malevolent entity.
Right.
You know? And like I said, everybody's got their own opinions. I mean, there's some people in our field that think that all ghosts are demons.
Right.
So, I don't buy into that
reason,
myself, but
for some reason, you know, I do research for my website, trying to find interesting stories and stuff. And for some reason, for the past week or so, there's been a lot of news stories on search engines about virtual reality simulations where you can experience the act of dying. And also research into life after death. I don't know what the meaning of this is, but a lot of different websites have been covering those two subjects in the past week or so.
Virtual reality death. That would be pretty freaky. You know, although it might be pretty interesting too. I mean, well, you know, it's like people that are into DMT.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of people that believe, I mean, because we know now that, you know, at the moment of death, your brain gets flooded with the stuff.
Right.
You know, so there's some people that think that DMT is the key to the other side. You know, I mean, if you're getting into quantum physics and all this now, you know, we can think that, okay, maybe what the next life is just another universe, a parallel universe or another dimension, whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, it gets really way out. It's fascinating stuff, all of it.
Yeah, I just did a Google search. I typed in life after death, and just 5 hours ago on a website that I do a lot of research on out of the UK called Express, it did a story, and the headline is Life After Death. Scientists claim dying is not turning off a light bulb. And then on February 4th, 2 days ago, of course, like I said, this is UK time. There's a story, and the headline is reincarnation, quote unquote. Let me scroll up. here's a little slow. Incarnation, quote unquote, is real as consciousness is contained in the universe after death.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of stuff about life after death, and here's another one. Just on January 28th from a website called Collective Evolution, neuroscience, they found proof for life after death. So for whatever reason, in the past few weeks, there's been a lot of stories about death and life after death and stuff such as that.
I'd like to think that, you know, I mean, I'm 56 now, so it's not like, you know, I'm a spring chicken, as the old saying goes. But I'd
right.
like to think that if the advances we're making, that perhaps, just maybe, before I shuffle off this mortal coil, that, you know, but we'll get maybe absolute scientific proof that this life isn't the end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know it's not. I there's nobody can convince me otherwise. I know in my heart and soul, this ain't it. You know, it ain't
right.
over. But
well, it looks like a lot of scientists have been working on this sort of thing very recently.
Yeah, it seems like more of them are, thank God, are starting to take the paranormal serious again. They were starting to, in a few years before Ghost Hunters came on the scene. And, you know, Ghost Hunters, I was cool with Ghost Hunters the first few seasons because I thought it was really cool that they showed what most paranormal investigations are like. Hours
mm-hmm.
of sitting in the dark and getting nothing. You know,
right.
and I like the fact that they would go to somebody and say, well, you know, it's not knocks you're hearing in the walls. You've got a pipe that was rattling. So I like that aspect of it, you
right.
know. And I remember watching the, I don't know if you've seen the original Ghost Adventures documentary.
I've seen, I think I have, yeah, at Goldfield.
Yeah, it was to get the levitating brick. And I really loved, I still think it's one of the better paranormal documentaries I've seen. Whether it's real or not, it was very well made. So, you know, but then all these shows just start getting sillier, and then you get Deep South Paranormal, and, you know, the guy's blowing up the ghosts, and it was like all of a sudden science just took an about-face turn, like, okay, screw these guys. They're nuts.
Right.
You know, cause,
right.
you know, we got a lady comes on Montel, and she's got this photograph from her living room, and you can see, like, hundreds and hundreds of orbs, but obviously the woman needed to dust her house more often. You know, and you got, what's her name, Brown, the psychic that died, Sylvia Brown, you know, said, oh, well, honey, those are angels. Didn't you know? Orbs are angels. And
mm-hmm.
the next thing, some guy's saying, well, the red ones are demons. Okay, who's the guy that decided, okay, the green ones are Irish? You know, I mean, what?
Irish.
Where does this stuff come from? You know?
Right.
You know, and everybody's an expert all of a sudden, and you can't even try to give someone a piece of information. Just say, okay, look, you know, yeah, that's an interesting picture, but, you know, it's a digital photograph. You can't get people to pay attention to the truth. Before digital photography, there were no orb photos. None. I can't find them, you know.
Right.
And they don't understand that. Yeah, I know it's digital, but it's still a camera. It still has a lens. You know, it takes in light, you know.
Yeah, I mean, someone had posted a video on YouTube, one of those compilation videos, you know, the top 10 creepiest paranormal photos.
Oh,
and
yeah, I love those.
Every one that they posted has been debunked. You know, there's the famous one with
oh, yeah.
the person being... There's the one with the person hanging upside down from the ceiling.
Yeah.
There's the one with the girl and the fire in England or whatever. They've all
yep.
been debunked as hoaxes, scams, or something else.
Oh yeah, and the pantry ghost, which almost took me in. I kept trying to figure out how the guy did it. You know, even though in the back of my mind I knew it wasn't real. You
right.
know. But, yeah, everybody's – dude, I still see them silly, ridiculous ghost apps for your phone. You know, there's like two – there's a little girl and a little boy, and they're like both from the – they're Victorian clothing. And
right.
those are the two that always pop up. Look, my friend just got this photograph. You know, it's a ghost app, fool. No, it's
well,
not. My cousin wouldn't lie to me. You're a hater. You know?
I do have an embarrassing quick story about that. I mean, as a lot of people know, I'm into the wrestling scene. You know, I used to be with XPW back in the day, and I, you know, still hang out with the boys and, you know, go to the bar after hours and stuff. And a show about probably 4 or 5 months ago, someone came up to me and they showed me a picture, and it was one of those girls, you know, the Victorian girls. I knew nothing about the app. These things do look very convincing.
Oh, yeah, they do.
You know, I had a few drinks in me, and they said, yeah, we got this at a haunted hotel in Portland. And they had made, somehow they had made this, you know, they had used this picture to turn it into a whole video. And it was one of the, I can't think of the chain now, but it's the chain in Portland that turns all these places like the Kennedy School and White Eagle Saloon, all these old haunted historic locations into bed and breakfasts. And they had showed me a video from the White Eagle Saloon Hotel, and it had that little girl in it, and I was like, oh my God, this is, you know, one of the greatest pieces of paranormal evidence I ever saw. And I posted it on Facebook, and within 5 minutes,
oh,
everyone
boy.
Shut me down.
Oh, yeah, I bet. Oh, man. Yeah. Well, you mentioned, and I got to do this for my mother, you mentioned that you're a wrestling fan. My mother is a fanatic over wrestling. Mm-hmm. I mean, probably one of the highlights of her life was going to see Macho Man live. You know, now it's Randy Orton. I loathe the stuff. I was into it when I was a kid. You know, my grandfather took me to see guys like Rocky Johnson, you know, The Rock's dad. And, you know, I saw those guys. But, yeah, she wanted to know who was your favorite for right now.
My favorite?
Yeah. In WWE or whatever it is.
My favorite WWE of all time, I would have to say, that's a very good question. I like Austin a lot.
Yeah, good.
As far as on the indies, I like, you know, some of the old CZW deathmatch wrestlers like Zandig and Wifebeater.
Well, I like that, Wifebeater. That's a good name for a wrestler.
You know,
reminds me of the Mentors.
Nick Gage is an awesome wrestler, crazy guy, but awesome wrestler. I can't think of his name right now. My friend is going to kill me if he hears this, but Homeless Jimmy from XPW just wrestled him in Indiana. I can't think of the guy's name, though. But yeah, speaking of Macho Man, it was just my birthday on January 23rd, and his brother, Leaping Lanny Poffa, the genius, actually posted on my Facebook page for my birthday.
Cool. Yeah, my mom thought Macho Man was just, you know, God's gift to womankind. You know, she loved him. The only guy from the 80s I liked was Piper. I just liked him because he had a screw you attitude. You know, you had to like Roddy. You know, and he was so good in those movies. You know, They Live. That's a classic. You know.
Yeah, my friend actually was the last person to do play by play with Piper before he passed away.
Oh, that was so sad. I know we're going off topic a little bit, but I was really angry that, I mean, there should have been massive tributes to that man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, he helped build the WWF just as much as Hogan did.
You know,
and so did Macho Man and Andre and those guys, you know. But I don't remember seeing, because my mom was watching TV when Piper died, and I don't remember seeing any tributes on the wrestling shows to him.
Right.
You know, I know he was kind of on the outs with McMahon and stuff like that, but, you know.
Right.
He was a cool guy, you know. I mean.
Yeah.
You know, he was just a likable dude, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, you know, excuse me. Folks, but yeah, get back to paranormal. It's, you know, what I think one of the biggest poisons that hit our community was here several years ago, and I know you remember when it came out. It was when political correctness stunk it ugly thing into our group, and it was paranormal unity.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that term?
I believe that actually all started after the Linda Vista incident.
You may be right.
Boyle Heights, the incident where Boyle Heights Paranormal was facilitating Linda Vista, and there was a paracon, and an incident occurred with BHPP and some groups out of Orange County.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I remember the whole paranormal unity thing taking off.
Well, you know, I understand tenets of it, but I guess like anything, you know, when you introduce something new to America, it quickly gets taken over by the extremists, you know, those people I normally call idiots and morons, you know, to where, you know, we have to be able to, you have to even be able to offer constructive criticism, or at least just say, okay, yeah, I see your picture.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, people disagree with me on a daily basis, and I don't get my panties in a wad over it. But it's people that, and that's, I think that's what the people that really latched on to the idea of paranormal unity and then took it to the extreme.
Right.
You know, to where it's like, oh, well, if you can't say nothing, just don't say nothing. So mm-hmm. So you got all these people that are going, oh, that's a one. Yes, I see that too. You know?
Right.
And it's like, well, you know, if you don't want people to say what they think, you know, then don't read the thing down below that says comment. You know, I mean, there's no excuse. You don't have to be a dick about it. And I will confess I've been a dick about it many times. It's just on occasion I'll see something that just so blatantly, it's like getting slapped in the face for me. And it's like I just have to speak. But I'm trying hard, Eric. I'm trying to be a nicer guy now, you know, and not be so judgmental. So I try to be constructive and helpful. And, you know, not everybody hates me quite as much now, you know.
Right.
But, I mean, how do you deal with it, you know? Cause I mean, I know, you know, you posted stuff like you said, and, you know, people do comment. They make comments. It's not always nice.
Mm-hmm.
How do you handle it when somebody just comes on and just says, oh, hey, man, you're full of crap, that's blah, 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 and they're kind of crappy about it, you know?
Right. I love haters. It gives me publicity.
It does, see? Yeah, there's no such thing as bad publicity, right? Mostly.
Exactly.
You know?
Bring it on. Bring it on.
Well, I was on the internet for years under a nom de plume. I created an alternate identity that kind of got out of hand, but it was like it got easy. I could say whatever I wanted and nobody could say nothing to me. So I didn't say it, he did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then he just started taking over. But I've got him in the basement on a Thorazine drip right now, and he's only allowed on YouTube, you know, where he causes less trouble. But you know, it's again, you're always going to get the haters. There's always the trolls out there. And I mean, do you do much in the way of private residences now, or have you?
I mean, we've done tons of private residences. I kind of feel bad. I've just been so busy. I mean, we've had people that have exclusively wanted us, and you know, they were going through some stuff, or I was in Europe or whatever, and it just didn't work out that we were able to go to their location. So I feel kind of bad about that. We haven't been doing as many private residences as we have in the past, mostly because of my personal schedule, trying to build my YouTube page and just doing some other stuff.
Right, sure.
Getting back into the acting a little bit. But, yes, we do quite a bit of them. Just the last one we did, I think, was a month or two ago in Apple Valley, which was a really crazy case. But I'm trying to get out of the private residences. There's just too much headache involved.
They are much more difficult. I have a question I'm going to be asking of every time I have on a guest who's an investigator. So you're going to be asked it first. you're doing a private residence, and the family that you're dealing with are scared out of their minds. They're convinced they have a ghost in the house or what, you know. So, and they tell you that they want to see and hear every bit of evidence you get. So let's say you get an EVP, and what is on that EVP, you know for a fact that when you play it for them, they're going to go out of their minds with fear.
Play it
for them.
I'll ask that question in 1 second. I do want to say one thing real quick.
Sure.
One of the things about private residences, and this has plagued me since the beginning, is that other team members, a lot of the time, no matter how much you plead and beg, will not give you their evidence for whatever reason. I think the main reason is laziness. So that's the first thing, which has been a huge headache. But to answer your question, yes, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
We don't go in, or we try not to go in, with any preconceived notions.
No, absolutely.
You know, we let the client know. That's a funny word, client, because half the time they don't pay you or give you a donation. But we let them know that we're not there to sugarcoat anything. Whatever we get, you know, we're going to let them know. But also because either myself or other teammates are able to do cleansings, crossings, and or banishings. And if we're not able to, then we have someone else that we have assist us. But it's just the same thing. I mean, if you go to a doctor and you're diagnosed with cancer, the doctor's going to tell you.
True.
You know, they're not going to say.
No, I definitely see your point.
And no. It's up to the person whether they want, just like going to a doctor, whether they want to get a second opinion or, you know, we sometimes try to tell them, you know, as long as it's not being violent, you're doing this and that, you know, just look at it as an exchange student. If you want us to cross it over, we can do that. It's up to you how you want us to deal with the situation.
That's a good answer. I like that. You know, I mean, there's a lot of people that definitely take the opposite side of that coin.
Right.
You know, being an empath, there's a part of me that would not want to say anything, but that's the empath. But, you know, I'm also got a scientific bent, and I also believe in honesty. So, you know, I'd also be kind of teetering towards your side, too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, residences are always much more difficult, you know. It's yeah, there's a lot of stuff I want to bend your ear on. Well, you definitely have to come back on again, dude.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we'll talk about some cases and maybe talk about some famous cases. And, you know, hang on a second. My producer's telling me we have a caller. So, hey, why not? Let's take a caller before we head out the door, huh?
All right.
Hello. State your name, caller, and what's up?
Hi, this is Christina. I'm calling from Pennsylvania. Not too much. I was just listening, really. I had an experience with a shadow person a long time ago. It was in 2004, while I was going to sleep. I saw it, and I was not asleep yet. I had been reading. I had just taken my glasses off because I can't see very good far away, and I was just laying there, and I saw it on the ceiling. It was like just a shadow of like a shoulders and a head, and I just laid there for a little while. My curiosity got the best of me. I was like, that shadow shouldn't be there. So I reached back over, put my glasses on, and that's when I noticed I had red glowing eyes. But to me, the eyes didn't look organic. They looked more like dim laser beams. Like, I still to this day think it was like some type of electronic or something like that. Like somebody was spying on me, maybe?
Well, I mean, I guess that could be a possibility. I mean, shadow boogers are pretty common. I've seen a few. I'm sure you've seen some, haven't you, Eric?
Yeah, shadow people are very common.
Yeah.
Just
but, I mean, there's
–
again – oh, go ahead.
There's theories that some people believe that shadow people might possibly be demonic or alien. But what you're describing to me sounds more possibly alien or even with the eyes. I mean, a lot of people attach red eyes to something demonic. You know, I don't know if that's exactly true. I have different beliefs about
that. There's more to the story because this happened when I lived at my grandmother's house. And I was only 19 years old at the time. And this is really weird because I kind of, like, forgot about it and, like, for a really long time. Not completely forgot about it, but it wasn't, like, you would think that if you saw something like that before you went to sleep at night. Like, I remember being afraid and being afraid to go back to sleep, obviously, because then it, like, left and I didn't know where it was and I was afraid. But I went to sleep and then right, like, and I'm not really positively sure that this is how it went down and, like, how it happened, but I also had another really weird experience when I lived there. And I believe it was that same night, just right before I woke up in the morning, I had like an image like put into my mind. Like it was like a dream, like a almost like a vision, except I knew when I woke up that it wasn't like a dream that was from my own subconscious, like somebody had put it there. And then 6 years later, I found out that image that they put in my mind was the exact symbol that they used for the Information Awareness Office for DARPA. It's like a DARPA symbol.
It could have been, I mean, there's a few different possibilities. I mean, it could have been something demonic. It could have been someone astral projecting, especially when you talk about the eyes being like laser beams. It could have been someone astral projecting and messing with you. You know, or someone, then you talked about the dream. It could have been someone.
It's almost like they wanted me to think. It's almost like when I woke up, because I obviously, like, I research a lot, too. Mm-hmm. I, like, looked into it to see, like, what it meant in a dream, to see, like, the Masonic pyramid. And I really couldn't find anything about that. And I searched for that image online as soon as I woke up. And I found, like, a bunch of Masonic things that were leading me back to, like, the NSA. That was all I could find, was it was leading me back to the NSA. So I kind of gave up on that. And like I said, 6 years later, I found that symbol online, and I almost shit myself, kid you not. Like, I was like, oh, my God, that's the symbol. And then for a really long time, I thought I had some weird psychic connection to the NSA. Like, they were using me somehow to, like, look into my mind or something. But now that I've had more time to really think about it and talk to other people who have also seen the shadow thingies and other people that have seen the ones with the red eyes, there's not very many people that have seen the red eyes. There's a lot of people that have seen the shadows. And one thing that was noticeable differently than mine than other people have is that I didn't see it. It wasn't like walking or anything. It was like it really moved like a shadow. And it, when I pointed at it, because my boyfriend was sleeping over at the time, he was already sleeping. I like woke him up really quick and didn't take my eyes off of it. And as soon as I pointed at it to show him, moved. It was like afraid of me almost.
Right.
Which you would think if it was demonic or something that it wouldn't be afraid. Maybe. Like, why would it be afraid from me just pointing at it? Like, and then I just thought about it, and I'm like, why would it want me to think it was the NSA? Like, obviously, if it was the NSA, they wouldn't put that symbol in my mind to lead me right back to who it was.
Well, that's the thing. If first of all, if it was something demonic, they could have done that to play psychological games with you, which demons
often
do. It's hard to say, to pinpoint exactly, but like I was saying, it could have been something ritualistic. It could have been, I believe it's either something ritualistic or something even as much as a conspiracy theory. You know, something having to do with something alien or secret society or something like that.
I dated somebody who was working, his brother at the time was working on a NASA, or it was a DARPA project, on the first drones. He told me he was making, his words were, remote-controlled helicopters. So, like, that was, like, and that was in 2004. And I know his brother, like, invented some, like, really crazy stuff that has to do with, like, government spying technology type stuff.
Oh, they're into all kinds of creepy stuff.
So I think that, like, a lot of times when people see those shadow things, it's, like, all different types of stuff, like you said. And I just have a feeling mine was connected to something electronic. That was just my first conclusion that I thought of.
Entirely possible.
We've done conspiracy theory cases. We did a case. I don't know why they did this, but there were black lights put into the client's walls. They were using LRADs or long range acoustic devices on him, and they were also using drones. And we experienced all three things when we were at the property.
Okay. Is there any way to, like, because my grandmother couple years ago started hearing voices and things like that.
How old is your grandmother?
She started hearing them before she turned 70. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, it's dementia or whatever. But
no,
my
that's
grandmother
not necessarily.
A lot of people, like, well, in my family, like, nobody else believes her except for me. And I do think that something has happened to her mind, but I don't believe it's something organically happened to her mind. Like, it's almost like something, like, did that to her, you know? And she does. She hears the voices and things like that. And my grandfather.
You can have oppression,
What's that?
I said you can have oppression. You can actually have, like, I guess you'd call it spiritual oppression. It's where an entity has attached itself to a person and just starts physically, emotionally, psychologically, even just draining them, tearing them down. It does happen.
That's what's happening with her, and it doesn't let her sleep.
Has she had any financial difficulties since the situation started?
Yes, they've had their house broken into several times. They used to go away in the summertime to go fishing, like, all summer, and their house got broken in three times. And the last time, whoever it was, they, like, went into the gun cabinet. And, like, somebody had to, like, really pry that thing open. Like, they knew where the guns were kept in the house.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, it was very strange. I don't know what the heck it is, honestly. Like, I saw that thing there in 2004. Now, I did dabble into, like, tarot and things like that.
Right.
And I know that, like, right around that time, like, I wasn't necessarily using it with the best intent because I was young and stupid and didn't know any better. And I, like I said, I kind of did forget about it, but I had painted it in, like, paintings and things like that, not even knowing. And I painted it one time as a doorway. And I thought that maybe there was significance in that, that maybe I had opened up some doorway. And
right,
the way that I've seen it.
A doorway could be a portal. That's a possibility. But I know you don't want to hear this. The steps that I would take is, I don't know if you've done this yet. I know you don't want to hear this, but I would seek medical consultation for your grandmother and, if necessary, have a referral to a I can't think of the name, a neuro, you know, the person that the doctors that deal with that type of stuff, neuro physician.
We've tried to get her to go before. She, like, swears up and down she's not going to any doctor because they'll put her on medication and that'll just dumb her down, and then whatever it is, we'll have complete control of her. But she, you know, I don't know, other than, like, you know, giving her medication, I don't really even know, like, how to make it go, like, how to get rid of it, especially since she's given into it for so long.
If it's spiritual attachment or something like that, I mean, the medication is not going to make it go away. So,
right.
That, you know, but yeah, I mean, you need to rule things out, you know, so Eric's suggestion is certainly a valid one, you know, but if a person doesn't want to go, you know.
Right.
I think she was diagnosed one time because my grandfather, like, 302'd her. when this first started happening. It was some type of delusional disorder. They did not diagnose her with dementia or Alzheimer's or anything, because she can still remember. She's remembering everything perfectly fine. Like, you tell her a date and a time, she remembers exactly what, you know, what's going on. It's just a matter of, like, you know, her saying that she's being harassed 24/7.
Well, if it's a spiritual attack, there's a great book you could get called Psychic Self-Defense by Dion Fortune.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll try
it. I believe you can find that on Amazon. It's called Psychic Self-Defense by Dion Fortune. I would do the medical thing first. The book is a second option. I'd also look into a local paranormal team. If it is something conspiracy theory wise, then that's going to be a whole new ballgame.
Like, you're talking about, like, electronic torture or something like that.
Well, there's a lot of different, you know, things like that, such as I was saying, LRADs, long-range acoustic devices. There's a lot of strange stuff out there.
Well, the neighbors, this is the thing, too, is our neighbors, they have their own personal cell phone tower behind their house, and it's, like, about 600 feet away. And then the other guy, their brothers, lives across the street, another 600 feet away. They're pretty much, my grandmother's house is sandwiched in between the cell phone tower and this guy that's, like, all into ham radio operations. He's, like, one of the head guys for the FCC was going to come. So,
well,
like,
that's going to, in the first place, is going to create a huge EMF fear cage.
Oh, yeah, big time. Big time.
Yeah, that's what I've talked to environmental people that told me. Like, even if they came, even if they were under the regulation, just the fact that there's so much coming out of the tower and so much coming from this guy all at the same time, it's like the backlash of them both hitting, both frequencies hitting each other.
Sure.
Yeah,
super,
I mean,
high EMF like that can cause problems.
Yeah.
My grandfather. Yeah.
My grandfather's dying of Parkinson's disease as well. So he's got his own issues going on. And then she's got, and I mean, they went from being perfectly healthy and fine to retiring. My grandparents didn't go away anymore in the summertime because their house got broken in so many times. So they quit doing that. And as soon as they quit going away, that's when they both just started going downhill really fast.
I mean, both of the things that you're talking about, with your personal experience and your grandmother's experience, I mean, there's so many possibilities that it could be, that it's hard to pinpoint one definitive answer, you know, in a 20-minute radio conversation.
Yeah, I know. I've been researching this for like 3 years, and I've come down to a conclusion where it was either demonic or alien, and that was what you said. So,
I think Eric's giving you about the best advice you could get, really.
Yeah.
You know, it's a good starting point for you. You know.
Okay.
We all hope will lead to some answers and to some solutions, of course. You know, because it's you know, it's not a fun thing to deal with.
Now, if it was electronic, do you guys know of any way that I could somehow detect it?
You can use an EMF meter, but I mean, I would look into seeing if there's any kind of violation, and you might want to, if there is, you might want to contact, like, the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or the local utility commission.
Okay. Those are two places I actually have not tried yet. I've tried the
FCC,
the FAA.
Yeah, they
could
come out and measure the amount of EMF coming from those two towers.
Okay. Yeah, I've actually tried that. I live in Pennsylvania, like I said, and our State Department is so poor that they couldn't do it.
I'm obviously not a lawyer, but that's, I'm obviously not a lawyer, but for some reason this doesn't sound legal to me. To have your own cell tower in a residential neighborhood.
Yeah, I've never heard of your own cell tower. I mean, the ham radio thing, yeah, but...
Yeah, and you can't find when somebody... Okay, this is the thing with the whole cell phone tower. It's crazy. Is if you own a personal cell phone tower and it's under, like, 180 feet tall, there's no regulation on it. So nobody's checking on you. Nobody's going to even inquire of what you're doing with the tower. Now,
wow.
I saw, yeah. So I called AT&T because they have AT&T stickers all over the base of it. So I walked out there to look at it. And the first time I walked out there and looked at it, there was nothing. And then they, I think they knew that I was looking into it. And then I went out there the second time, and there was AT&T stickers, like, stuck everywhere, all over it. So I called AT&T, and I asked them, and they said they could not give me any information because it was a privately owned cell phone tower.
Well, yeah, now, AT&T is making money off of it.
Right, right. Well, and the people that own the tower are leasing that tower to the AT&T. But they wouldn't give me any information of what the tower is actually being used for. Just that they had, you know, did have some stuff on there. Now, I mean, I don't know, like, how well you guys know about technology or anything like that, but I have a suspicion that this specific cell phone tower is not just a cell phone tower. It's also, like, one of those things called the IMSI catchers, where it steals data. So I believe
they
are involved with government programs, and it very well could be the neighbors, too. Or it could be my ex. Like I said, his brother was involved with, like, a drone project. It's crazy. Like, I have all
it
these
sounds
different
pretty
avenues.
Shady.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's sketchy.
Especially
that's sketchy, to say the least.
When I pointed at the thing, it vanished. Like, it got scared, you know? Like, it was, like, almost like it was, like, a human reaction. If you were watching somebody and spying on them, that when you got caught, you would quick move your eyes elsewhere, like, oh shit, they saw me, you know. That was the only reason why I thought that maybe it was, like, human, you know. But and the fact that I really do believe they somehow put an image into my mind, which I know the government has technology to do that, but why would my neighbors do it? I don't know.
Well, we're going to be talking about shadow people and a lot of all these topics in the future shows. Even Sasquatch is going to make an appearance. No, not personally, but I'm glad you called in. It's getting about that time. Please call back. You know, anything else comes up in your story, definitely call and let me know.
Okay.
Let's keep track of it. And again, thank you. It's a great story. It was really fascinating. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Yeah.
You have a great night.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right, brother. It's about that time. I'm going to take the last couple minutes to say good night and talk about upcoming things. Definitely, you know, when you get some free time, let me know, and I definitely want to have you back on, man.
Thank you. Yeah, definitely. Thank you.
You know, so we can there's just so much ground to cover, and you just can't do it all in one show, unfortunately.
No, that was a very interesting call.
Yeah, wasn't it? I wasn't expecting one that good for a first call. That was really good.
Yeah.
You know, I don't envy her situation, but I think you definitely gave her somewhere to start with.
Yeah,
know,
it's,
so thank
it's
you
a
for
complicated
that.
One.
Yeah, to say the least. But anyway, thanks again, Eric, for being on, man. The honor was totally mine, brother. Believe me, I mean, this has been a great show. I'm very pleased and happy.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, you have a good night, brother. I'll be talking to you soon.
All right, man. Bye.
And that was Eric Van Leer, paranormal investigator and all-around swell guy. And I'm just so happy with the way the show went. I think it was a good show. What do you think? So anyway, I'll be back next week. If all goes well, like I said, Sasquatch is going to make an appearance, so to speak. The purpose of this show is not just ghosts. It's the paranormal. It's just the unknown. I mean, you know, hey, I may talk about spontaneous human combustion on an episode. May have somebody else wrote a book about it. You never know. But I'm going to try and keep bringing interesting, informative guests onto the show. There will be times when I won't have a guest, and you'll have to sit around for at least an hour and listen to me jabber away. But I'll try to be entertaining. So, you know, I'm going to do movie reviews, book reviews, just anything I run across that I think might be of interest to you good folks out there in internet radio land, I'll bring it to you. And I will continue to watch all the paranormal TV shows because, well, that way you won't have to. And I'll just come on the show and tell you how horrible they all are. And yes, boys and girls, they're terrible. So until next Monday, same bat time, same bat channel, this is your host, Kevin Malone, saying good night from Transcending the Unknown, and we'll see you next week. Good night, boys and girls.